Hi, everyone. My energy level is waning. I don't know about yours. It's getting a little late. So, and I'm also from Colorado, so I feel compelled to say that if you want to stand up, walk around, stretch during this, feel free. We do have lots of standing meetings and walking meetings in Colorado. We're switching gears slightly here from prevalence to medication adherence. I'm looking at a population-based survey and the all-payer claims data from Colorado. So I just wanted to start by saying, looking at high blood pressure and diabetes and the aging population in Colorado. Now, you could, you know, cut and paste your state name probably into this slide, and you know, these are not things that you do not know, but high blood pressure and diabetes have increased over time, even within the past decade. There are significant disparities, much higher prevalence among older adults, and the population is aging. So the population aged 60 plus years, our projections in Colorado are that those numbers in 2040 will be 1.8 times the number of 2015. At the same time, there's a lot of uncontrolled illness, and our uniform data set data show that exactly the same number of people with diabetes and hypertension have uncontrolled disease. Conveniently, the same number. And then medication adherence is associated with adverse health outcomes, including poor control and hospitalizations and increased healthcare costs. One definition of medication adherence is active, voluntary, collaborative involvement of the patient in a mutually acceptable course of behavior to produce a therapeutic result. So this implies that the patient has a say in what they're doing, and they come to an agreement with their provider on the treatment regimen. The bottom line is medication adherence is whether the medication is taken as prescribed. Measurement of patient medication adherence and use of interventions to improve medication adherence are rare currently in routine clinical practice. So we wanted to examine medication adherence among adults with high blood pressure and those with diabetes. What's the prevalence of low adherence, what are the disparities, and what are the barriers to adherence? And as was previously mentioned, we needed data for the CDC 1305 FOA. And these are one of many, many performance measures that we have to report for that grant. So I'll start with the population-based survey. We have Colorado's Tabs on Health survey. It's a population-based telephone survey. It's conducted in English and Spanish, and it includes cell phones. And we have a sample size for that survey that's similar to our BRFSS sample size of about 12 to 15,000. This used to be strictly a tobacco survey, and starting in 2012, we had the ability to add other chronic disease questions to this survey. So in addition to tobacco, we asked about BMI, weight loss intentions, and disease management for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. This slide shows how we defined medication adherence in TABS. So we used 8 different questions that were asked on TABS and created an index. So if they said that they disagree, that they just sometimes forget to take their medication, that they have to take too many medications, that it's inconvenient to take it more than once a day, and if they just don't get refills on time, they get a point. If they say that they never skip because the medication made them feel bad, because of the cost, because they didn't think it was working, or for another reason, then they get a point. And the higher score is better, and the low adherence was defined as a score of less than 6. So 0 through 5 points would be low adherence. some high-level results, and throughout the presentation, high blood pressure will be presented with light blue and diabetes with dark blue. The prevalence of high blood pressure in the population was 24.6%, and 73% said that they were prescribed medications. 72.6% said they were currently taking medications, and then 23.3% had low adherence to those medications. For diabetes, the prevalence was 8%, with 79.4% said they were prescribed medications, and then about 39% said they were taking insulin, and 69% taking another diabetes medicine, and 26.4% had low adherence to their diabetes medications. This slide shows the values of that score and how that looked. So again, less than 6 was defined as low adherence, and low adherence was at 23% for blood pressure medicines and 26% for diabetes medicines. So a fair number of people got a perfect score of 8, being more adherent. This graph shows the different components, those different questions, and what percent of those with high blood pressure and diabetes responded. So about 1 in 4 said that they sometimes forget to take their medicines. More people with diabetes than with high blood pressure said that they have to take too many medicines for their condition. And largest number of people, about a third or more, said that taking their medicines more than once per day was inconvenient. And then about 1 in 5 said that they either don't get their refills on time or they skipped their medicine because it made them feel bad. More people with diabetes said that they have skipped because of cost. And then and same thing for skipping because they didn't think that the medicine was working. And then there were some other questions that didn't go into that index that we asked. Quite a large number said that they worry about the cost or they worry how the medicines will affect their health. And that was more prevalent for diabetes. 11 and 15% said that they don't have someone to call to talk about their medicines. And then fewer people reported either not being confident that their medicines will help or that they don't understand the instructions. So let's look at low medication adherence by different demographic factors. When you look by age, there is the low adherence is higher among those aged younger than 55 years, particularly significant for hypertension. And low adherence is also higher among the uninsured, those with low SES, and those who are not white. In Colorado, most everyone is white or Hispanic, so the other categories is mostly Hispanic. If they had a comorbidity of diabetes and hypertension, they were more likely, if they were low adherence to their diabetes, they're likely to be low adherence to their high blood pressure medicine as well. This slide shows low adherence by insurance type, and so low adherence was higher among those on Medicaid and those without insurance, and that was statistically significant for diabetes. And then some of those other factors, those other questions that we asked them for a self-reported control of their condition. So is your blood pressure or A1C low, normal, or high? And those who said that it was high were more likely to have low adherence. So they knew that their condition was uncontrolled, and they admitted to not being very adherent to their medication. We asked a question, how sure are you that you can control your illness? And those who said they were unsure were more likely to report low adherence. And low adherence was also higher among those who disagreed that their meds would help them, that they had someone to call, that they worried how the medications would affect their health, and also those who said that they were limited in any way by a mental health condition. So we looked at a number of other things and did not find an association with various demographics, comorbidities, as well as how often they see a doctor was not associated with medication adherence. And also, we asked other questions about, are you doing lifestyle changes to help control your condition, and those were not associated with better or worse adherence to the medicine. Now moving on to the all-payer claims data. In Colorado, our APCD was created by legislation in 2010, and it's administered by the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare. So they own the data, they have the data. We don't have the data at the health department. And it represents about two-thirds of insured Coloradans with claims from the largest 33 commercial health payers, Medicaid, and Medicare Advantage. So not, as in the other states, not an all-payer claims database. And as Carrie mentioned, you know, the kind of the primary goal for the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare is we have, you know, a website that shows the costs and by different payers. So they look at the variation in cost and utilization, but it's also an indirect way to estimate medication adherence. And so we used the proportion of days covered of at least 80% as defined by CDC's guidance for the 1305 performance measures. So this table shows the total low adherence in all-payer claims data versus our TABS data. And it is pretty close. So we're comparing apples and oranges. I realize that, but you know, we still want to see, as the two presenters before me, you know, let's look at what other data we have and see how it compares. And it's pretty close. And you know, also low adherence is highest among the Medicaid population. And when we do look at it by region of Colorado, it's very similar as well. So to summarize, about one in four people with high blood pressure report low adherence to their medication for high blood pressure. There are many disparities in medication adherence to high blood pressure medicines, and similarly for diabetes. It's about one in five, or one in four, I mean, sorry, who report low adherence to medication, and similar disparities. We found many potential barriers to medication adherence from our TABS data, with many people saying that they worry about how medications will affect their health, and it's inconvenient to take medications more than once a day. And while many people say that they worry about cost, a lot fewer actually said that they have skipped medication because of cost. So I thought that was interesting. And then many people also say they just forget. So what? What are we doing with these data? The one thing that we've done so far is we've included it in a fact sheet that we are using, and the audience for this is clinics, and it's through our clinic quality improvement project at the State Health Department, which is not limited to diabetes and hypertension, because of, you know, we have a lot of synergy going on in Colorado. So we have that clinical quality improvement project is, you know, cancer, diabetes, hypertension, tobacco, you know, we're adding different things, oral health. But at all of the clinics that we touch, there's an initial assessment at the clinic, and so they get this, they can get this fact sheet. And so at least we've done a little bit. And then the clinic later will choose some focus areas, and that might or may not be medication adherence, but they've all been provided with some information about medication adherence. And this was produced in collaboration with some stakeholders from clinics to help inform the content. I had a lot more data in the first draft, but you can't include it all. And then another way that we've used the data is that internally, we are involving some stakeholders in this process too, but we've had an initial workshop moving through this evidence-based public health approach. And so we've talked about the data, presented the data to all of the stakeholders, presented results of our literature review, and now we're working to try to clearly define what is the role of the state health department in improving medication adherence in the state, and then selecting some potential actions and developing a work plan from that. So, you know, data informing the process and the program planning. Of course, both of these data sources are subject to several limitations. The TABS data is self-reported, and that's the score that we created is not a validated score, although it was informed by looking at other various scores and indices that are out there. We do, even though we had a population of almost 15,000, you still get small sample sizes when you look at subpopulations. For the all-payer claims database, doesn't include all payers, not all of Medicare, which is, you know, the older population that is more likely to have both of these conditions. We have not formally evaluated the all-payer claims database, and it's very expensive to obtain the data. We cannot just look at it. We have to submit a data request, and it costs $10,000 to submit a data request. And then finally, you know, this is all pre-ACA, and so we don't really know what the current prevalence of these things are. Some next steps that we have, we're going to develop a data analysis plan for the 2015 TABS. So that what I presented was 2012, and we asked a lot of the same questions in 2015, and within the next 2 weeks, those data will be available. So we can look at some changes over time. We're evaluating the all-payer claims database and analyzing diabetes medication adherence in that. I just, you know, right now we only have the high blood pressure. And then we're going to complete that kind of data to action process with the staff to prioritize some actions for our program work plans. So I want to thank all of my colleagues who have helped, and Eric, who's in the room, and I'll take any questions that you have.
I apologize if I missed it when you said it, but how did you measure adherence in the payer database? Is it medication prescription filled and refilled?
Yes, it's based on fill of the prescriptions, and you have to have 80% of days covered for their medication.
But you really don't know if they took the medication. No. They just that it got filled.
Yep, thanks. Just fills.
The criteria for that is, I think it is coming back to CDC to have those.
Yeah, it's a common measure for yeah.
Well, I'm fascinated with how you've broken up adherence. It's not a yes, no. It's graded over a large continuum. Could you comment on two things? Is there a threshold value above which people are protected versus not? Because it's hard to tell. One impression that I get from this is the more the better, but there's not at a point when I've clearly reduced my risk. And that has, I think, implications for how you communicate the results, because patients may get the impression that it's okay to be at 60% adherence. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how you came up with that. It's just, I'm curious, I've not seen that before.
Well, 80% adherence from the claims data is just, you know, as common in the literature and, you know, associated with better outcomes. But for our index, we use the Mariski scale as a guide, but you're not allowed to use it without paying to use it. So it's been too expensive. So that was a lot of our biggest reference. For creating that scale and using the 6 cutoff. But I do want to look at it more and kind of, we could look at some interesting things with, you know, because we have that continuum and look at either that self-reported control or, you know, some other outcomes that we might have and see what's going on there. But it's an arbitrary number. It's an arbitrary cutoff. So I can't really comment other than that.
Well, thank you very much.